Hello, this is Dr. Shiva. Welcome to our podcast, Get Educated or Be Enslaved.
Episode 1692, air date May 22nd, 2026.
All right, good evening, everyone. Thomas Massie is a fucking misleading opportunist. And if you get this lecture today, you will never be fooled, and you will get off your butts, and you'll understand why we need to build the Truth, Freedom, Health movement. That's what you're going to learn today. Our movement educates people on the science, on the system science of how we actually shatter the swarm. We'll play a video shortly after explaining what the swarm is. But let me begin by sharing with you an image that I want to share. May I share my screen? Is that all right?
Yes, you can.
Okay, let me share my screen here. So let me share the screen. And by the end of this lecture, you're going to understand this image, okay? Can everyone see this? You will understand this image.
Yes.
And it's the myth of Ouroboros. It's a very, very ancient myth. But once you understand this image, you will understand. You will not be uncompromising or say, oh, he's a nice guy, he does some good, all that kind of bullshit, okay? Because that's precisely what the swarm wants you to do. So this is Thomas Massie, the Ouroboros, eating himself up. And let me explain why I drew this image out today. First of all, what is Ouroboros, you know? And when I explain this, I really want you to understand this is, we're going to really review the political or the systems architecture of political deception. And we're going to use Massie as the very, very clever opportunist. And why his clever appeasement is promoted, supported, because the swarm loves it. Because it helps destroy mass movements. So I want to begin by talking about what is Ouroboros, if you haven't studied it as a systems model. We're going to review the Kentucky primary collapse. You know, the architecture of this, of the, what I call the not so obvious establishment, and ultimately how opportunism, that's what Massie is, like many of people like AOC or Booby effing Kennedy or Rand Paul, or Martin Luther King, and you can go down the list, opportunists. And we discuss as we educate people on this, I would say understanding opportunism and the not-so-obvious establishment, and you don't need a lot of people, you need a potent set of people. And having the ability to see the next opportunist that comes up is how working people are actually going to win. So what is the Ouroboros? And it's spelled O-U-R-O-B-O-R-O-S. It's a very ancient warning of the self-devouring serpent. Sometimes you'll see the serpent eating its own tail. And it's an ancient symbol that depicts a serpent eating its own tail, and it typically creates a closed loop, and it's an inescapable loop. It's a circle, and the serpent can't escape out of itself. Now, in this image, a snake believes it's feeding itself, that it's growing stronger by consuming what it thinks is an external energy source. The reality is the snake is actually destroying its own foundation and it's consuming its own body. And to sustain basically a temporary illusion of survival. And the lesson that comes out of this in the physics, which is what we teach of political movements, is that when you try to feed off the establishment, you know, trying to maintain a quote unquote rebel brand, you actually enter a closed loop of self-destruction. And that's what opportunists do. And they self-destroy not only themselves, but entire movements. And that is why the establishment promotes them. And the establishment gets more and more clever in the kinds of opportunists it creates. As we get smarter, they get also more clever. So let's review this systems architecture of self-destruction, okay? Because really the mathematics of compromise are pretty absolute. So here's the delusion of the opportunists. So the consummate opportunist, not so obvious establishment, believes that they are so clever. This is what they think. They're so clever, they're going to somehow manipulate the establishment and you into, you know, winning something by compromising. And the opportunist thinks he can feed on the system, live off the system, loop around, pander to opposing forces, and somehow they're going to remain uninjured. Like they can somehow work with Bobby Kennedy. They can somehow work with Trump. They can somehow work with these clearly opposing forces, and somehow it'll all work out. But what they end up doing, the closed loop, is they end up validating the very forces of the swarm to save, you know, their own skin. And the opportunist actually creates this closed loop of deception. And eventually the circle closes. The system, in this case, that Massey fed on, legitimized and pandered to, turns around and swallows him whole. And in fact, not only does it swallow him, but all the people who were thinking he's going to lead them to some type of salvation. So the validation here is, you know, Massey's crushing primary defeat, Ted Galrain. And it's the ultimate historical validation of the political Uroboros. Because what he tried to do was he tried to be very clever, double gaming it, of appeasing rabid imperialists, Trump, Kennedy, et cetera. And he built the exact machine that destroyed him. And by the way, let me give you an FYI. Massey went to MIT. He played the MIT game, you know, did all the right things. But interesting enough, in 2020, when we were getting millions of views, millions of hits, he wanted me to reach out to him and talk to him, which I was open to. But right when he found out that I was a real, true revolutionary, he didn't want to do that. But he wanted to be opportunist because my base and my viewers were growing. And I have all the receipts to show that. Okay. So that's just a side note, but let's talk about what he did recently, okay? Let's talk about the Jeffrey Epstein, how he did the bait and switch there. This is Massey, okay? Now, a true revolutionary, true agent of change understands that a corrupt system cannot be bargained with. You can't bargain with the swarm. But Massey, you know, thinking he's very clever, used a very sophisticated model of distraction. So the bait that he put out there was, like, you know, every ordinary person, everyone who actually cares, he recognized that the public is very, very angry about the deep, you know, and systemic rot. You know, for example, child trafficking, right? Pedophilia. So he made a massive, big, if you remember, sitting up, you know, televised with all the women behind him, a big televised production out of going to the Department of Justice to read the secret Jeffrey Epstein files. Interesting enough, the DOJ had put very clear limits on what he could even get access to, but he didn't really fight that. He still thought he was going to play with them, and there's a tweet I did on that. So the posture is he stood before the cameras. He postured as the lone warrior fighting the ultimate evil, you know, Epstein, to protect our children, you know, capturing the energy of, you know, angry people. So he positioned himself as a fighter against Epstein. But then he capitulated. And I'll tell you how he capitulated. When his own political survival in Kentucky was threatened by this primary challenger that Trump was supporting, Massey starts pivoting. He doesn't escalate his attacks on Trump, et cetera. He ran to the voters. And by the way, some of these right-wing MAGA people were saying this, and they were right about this. He ran to the voters and started bragging that he actually voted with Donald Trump 91% of the time. So here he's attacking Trump as a pedophile, the Epstein class. And then he's saying, oh, by the way, I supported Trump 91% of the time. You see, this sends a very mixed message. And the deception is by explicitly linking, you know, his anti-establishment fight against Epstein to a record of 91% systemic submission. Massey basically manipulated his own followers. It's a false equation, because what he did was he created a toxic mental loop, because the average guy is saying to himself, wait a minute, if Massey is a good guy fighting the Epstein network and he votes with Trump 91% of the time, then Trump must also be a force for good. And that's what these fucking opportunists always do. They think they're going to be clever. Oh, because there's some good over here. And they manipulate people. If you notice on Twitter when I expose, oh, but Dr. Shiva, why are you so critical? And over time, they realize why I'm so fucking critical. But they don't do the right thing at the right time. So it's very important to understand this. So again, the average guy listening to this says, wait a minute. Massey's such a good guy fighting the Epstein class, and he votes for Trump 91%. Subconsciously, the person is led to believe that Trump must also be a force for good. You see, this is where the mind fuckery takes place. So, but fundamentally, it's a betrayal of truth, because Massey has used his own quote unquote rebel credibility to validate the head of the political swarm, Trump. He actively taught the people a lie, right? That to win, this is all subconscious, that to win, you must bow down to executive power and seek the oppressor's approval. Oh, by the way, I'm 91% of the time with Trump, rather than building an independent movement. You see? So they try to have their cake and eat it too, and it always fucks you up. I have a dream, Martin Luther King, right? I mean, he was thinking he was going to wind his way with the Kennedys and, you know, figure out some way. At the end of the day, the plight of Black people today is worse than before the Civil Rights Movement, and to also poor whites, mind you, okay? So these opportunists think they're going to be clever. They're going to be so, write beautiful speeches and, you know, stop looking like a nerd and grow a beard and, you know, get some plastic surgery. Position themselves, you know, they're going to play the game. And always, it never works out. But that's one example. Let me give you the second example. So basically, his followers are like, wow, he's fighting against Epstein, but then he's voting 91% with Trump. So Trump must also not be that bad. You know, they confuse people. I'll give you another example so you don't think this is just isolated. You know, Massey, has the same pattern when it comes to Zionism. I mean, this guy's never said shit against Zionism, but then he's watching all the polls. He sees our videos, Zionist cocksucker, go viral. So, these guys are getting all this data. So then he starts talking against AIPAC. He never said anything. I mean, he's been, I think, a six-term congressman. Never said shit against the Israeli Zionist lobby for how many ever, 20 years nearly. So he starts building this massive identity in the last, maybe year around being an adversary of powerful foreign lobbying organizations. And he starts blasting AIPAC, which is the Israeli PAC, for using millions of dollars to control American politicians, okay? Which people have known since the 1980s, right? This guy never said anything about that. You look at my record, I've been exposing Zionism since 1984. This guy was at MIT. I never saw him do any of that. I never saw him attend any anti-Zionist protest I ever ran. Okay, so the hustle that he did as well, shouting evil about AIPAC, and Israel, Massey was linking arms with fucking booby fucking Kennedy Jr., praising him. And people say, oh, well, you have to separate what Booby's doing here with this. No, you're fucking confusing people. Booby was out there waving the Zionist flag with that guy, Rabbi Shmuley. Booby was on TV saying that the Palestinians are the most pampered people on the planet and supporting the invasion of Gaza. So he's over here saying he's against Zionism, against Israel, against AIPAC, and over here he's taking pictures with Kennedy. So this, again, is done to blur the lines between friend and foe, to confuse people, to make people think, oh, I guess you have to play both sides. I guess you just have to see the good in the assholes. You have to see the good in Satan. Satan can be good once in a while. So the reality of RFK Jr., we all know, we've taught people, is, you know, when you look at the raw data, he's a hardcore champion of the same pro-Zionist foreign policy agenda and AIPAC and global lobbying networks that Massey claims to oppose. So what is the message to the masses that Massey's delivering? He's saying by embracing, you know, hanging out with RFK, praising him, what Massey's effectively telling his followers is that it's acceptable to compromise on a fundamental pillar of anti-imperialism, right? Because Zionism is as imperialist as you can get, saying a small set of people should control the many. That is justified. That's like the foundation of U.S. imperialism, Zionism. And he's saying, well, you can compromise on that as long as the person you're standing to is a celebrity who helps you get social media metrics. You see, he wanted to reach out to me because my popularity was exploding in 2020. He associates himself 91% with Trump to get his views and clicks, and the same thing he does with Kennedy. But the systemic consequence is this: he completely dilutes the truth. He blurs the lines between the forces of the status quo and the forces of real change, like myself and our movement. And people are misled once again into viewing obvious pro-Zionist, pro-swarm figures like Kennedy as some kind of revolutionary ally, you see? That's why Massey's so fucking dangerous. Because people leave confused. Against AIPAC, hanging around with Kennedy. Against Epstein, oh, I vote with the president 91% of the time. I'm a Trumper. What the fuck? That's why he's promoted. That's why he's on all these TV shows. That's why he's given to people, because they need him. And I'll get to that. Let me give you a third example. You may remember this whole tax cut stuff that took place. You know, the deception goes very deep than even foreign policy on this. So one of the things that these opportunists do is they'll actually act and vote on certain issues to act like they're pro-working class. So to maintain his quote-unquote independent libertarian brand, you may know Massey frequently would stage these dramatic solo no votes. You know, he was called Mr. No, you know, on minor bills. And Trump was right about this. Massey would do grandstanding against certain spending packages, and he got the nickname Mr. No. But the intent of this was he wanted the working class to believe that he was a rigid watchdog, you know, his watchdogging against government waste and ruling class excess. But the reality is this: when the majority of the imperialist corporate forces of the US ruling class, the swarm, demanded a massive structural bailout, Massey fell completely in line. He cast a very decisive vote in favor of the multi-trillion dollar Tax Cuts and Jobs Act, if you remember. I'm just going to, I just got to get a quick glass of water, Nick. I'll be right back.
Okay. Yes, for everyone else, just a reminder in the open house to change your name to, if you are a new member, change it to NM at the end of your name. If you are a new attendee, change it to NA. And if you are a Warrior Scholar, change your name to with a WS next to your name. And like Dr. Shiva said, we're looking for people to volunteer to make phone calls. This isn't a drill. This is go time. It's May. We have 1, 2, 3. It's really 6 months until election day, and so we need all hands on deck. So at the end of this open house, we will go around the room and we will make sure everyone is onboarded before tonight is done. So we will put people on the spot because, again, if you're here to spectate, it's really no service to us and it's no service to yourself. We're here to shatter the swarm, and that means for you to get off your ass and help us and save yourself. That's what this is about. So I still see some people who haven't changed their name. Again, if you go to your square, there should be three dots. You click that, and then if you scroll all the way down, it'll say rename yourself, and that's how you rename yourself, if you're wondering. I'll put it in the chat right now. Once again, how to change your name in Zoom so we can have everyone do that. So it's in the chat now. I reposted it. And yeah, so I think, okay, Dr. Shiva, you're back. All right. I think we're ready for you.
All right. So when you looked at the third example, Massey did the same thing. He would grandstand, vote, be Mr. No on small, very small bills. But on the big issue, on the Tax Cuts and Jobs Act, he fell in line with the establishment, okay? So he does a lot of theatrical stunts on small, inconsequential bills to build his resume like a rebel. The other person that does this is AOC. You saw her today saying, oh my God, the data centers, you know, in Texas, wherever it was, I think, they're building these data centers, which they are, Meta is, and look at people's groundwater. And she brings this bottle of water and she says, look, it's brown, right? But meanwhile, AOC was absolutely fine for the invasion of Gaza. So these people play all these fucking games. They do just enough to keep their rebel resume. And that's the same thing Massey, left and the right do this. And this concept, the establishment wants people to accept. Oh, they have to do that, Dr. Shiva. They have to do that. No, they don't have to fucking do that. When you have a real movement that's uncompromising, you don't have to fucking do that. And that notion of being uncompromising to evil, to people who your enemy, that somebody have to work with them, that is the devil right there. And they get people used to that thinking. And that's why people like Massey and people like Rand Paul, people like AOC, people like Marjorie Taylor Greene, people, all these people are supported because they do this really wishy-washy blur line shit that it confuses the masses. And it's really a betrayal of the working class, because when the dominant factions of the swarm demanded, in this case with the tax cuts, a structural realignment that would have stripped wealth away from public systems and concentrated it in private hands, you know, Massey's opposition completely vanished. So it's all a smokescreen. So he used the smokescreen of the free market libertarian to mask what was fundamentally a massive protection of the swarm's wealth. They're very clever, very clever. Massey thinks he's fucking clever. He's a douchebag. And the axiom here is that Thomas Massey proved that the opportunist, quote unquote, opposition to the system stops exactly when the core financial interests of the swarm begins. So they'll do everything short of really, you know, disabling that. All right, so let me wrap up with a couple of things here. So what we teach at Truth Freedom Health, that history teaches us, is that true change requires absolute, uncompromising ideological clarity. You have to be absolutely clear. That's why we say to shatter the storm, you need the right theory. And we teach people that. And a lot of people who don't take the course, who don't actually study this, will say stupid shit online when we're exposing these people because they never finish the fucking thing. And these are historical lessons that you can't simply be a dilettante. You have to fucking study it. So I have very little time for that. We've created an amazing curriculum, a scientific curriculum, and you have to fucking study it. All right. So an opportunist, however, can't not survive on this, on truth alone, right? They don't really believe in the truth, right? So they rely on a network of elite associations. Oh, I got to work with Kennedy a little bit. I got to work with Trump a little bit to shield themselves from any type of principled criticism. So, for example, Thomas Massie will associate them with the Pauls, Ron Paul and Rand Paul. Ron Paul will say a bunch of shit, but at the end of the day, he got fucked in his election, if you remember, many years ago, and he sort of walked away, didn't really fight it. And Rand Paul is just pure establishment, just barks all day. Give you one example. We started the Fire Fauci campaign in March of 2020. We reached out to him, nothing. He waited one fucking year. We started the hashtag Fire Fauci. Then he started using our hashtag, but not to attack Fauci, to raise money for himself. Total fucking scumbag. Again, he's promoted. He's allowed to have a seat. He's their institutionalized, quote unquote, fake rebel. So Massie will always shield himself with Rand Paul. And whenever Massie faces any type of criticism for compromising or playing the party game, he'll say, oh, but I'm aligned with Rand Paul. You see, so they have this very clever alliances that they do. All right. So to wrap it up, why do they need these people? Why are these people promoted? Why is he on TV all the time? Why does he get all this airtime if he's truly in opposition, right? Well, you know, the reality is that there's an architecture of isolation, meaning that they remain tightly integrated with the legacy of political dynasty, in this case, with that operates entirely within the parameters of the ruling elite, right? To ensure that there is really no systemic defiance. So the goal is Massie uses the prestige of the political brand to pacify his voters. And this is always a dead end. The layout always keeps a people trapped with the boundaries of a conventional electoral politics, actively preventing us from organizing independently. That's the goal. So the illusion is, and it's interesting, it's really a fatal flaw that's embedded in the DNA of all opportunists like Massie. It's literally in the DNA of these opportunists. They genuinely believe, this is in their DNA, that you must compromise your way to victory. I'll repeat that again. Opportunism believes you have to compromise your way to victory. And it's a strategic lie because they believe that the only way to survive a multi-million dollar onslaught when people are spending more than you is to pander to the swarm. You see, the reason, to those of you who weren't involved in our early part of our town hall, many of you know I'm running for U.S. Senate, but I'm not running. Our whole movement's running. And we're not begging anyone for money. We're not pandering to booby fucking Kennedy. We're not pandering to any of these scumbags. The only people we're quote unquote pandering to is to going to people and say, if you want me in the U.S. Senate, here's the theoretical framework. Number one, very different theory we give people. A U.S. Congress seat for House of Rep or Senate is no longer something that's just U.S. based. Every congressional seat in the United States affects the working people of the world. Because U.S. imperialism is global. It affects all working people. Our movement is global. Shiva for Senate is not just about Shiva for Senate from Massachusetts. When you put it in the larger context, Massachusetts is the center, the intellectual center, to be more precise, of the global swarm between MIT and Harvard. nearly every political exploit, calamity, or economic calamity in any country can be traced to some scumbag professor or elite between MIT and Harvard. So our winning in Massachusetts is not just a Massachusetts victory. It's a victory for people throughout the world. Now, how are we going to win that? By pandering to Booby fucking Kennedy? Oh, yeah, I agree with Booby on certain things. He's a fucking Zionist scumbag, but I will suck his cock once in a while. Uh-uh. We're saying everyone listening to this video can participate in this fight. We don't need money. We need your labor. Go to Shiva for Senate, volunteer, spend 1 hour a day making fucking phone calls. It's not about me. It's about you. Do you want to shatter the swarm? And the swarm is global. Our winning, my winning a U.S. Senate race affects the world. Get involved. So we give people clear action that's aligned to theory, which is aligned to building a global community. Not like fucking talking about, you know, this guy's running against me in Kentucky. You know, I vote with Trump. I mean, this is complete fucking retard. So at the fundamental level, the opportunists believe that you have to fight on the swarm's battlefield. And the only way to fight them putting a shitload of money in is to hedge your bets and pander and manipulate the system from within. You can't manipulate their system. There's no fucking way. And so the reality of what took place in Kentucky is Massey's defeat was not an accident of funding. He's going to say, oh, the Zionists funded against me. No, that wasn't the reason you fucking lost. If he had possessed, I mean, he's already been a congressman for 6-7 terms. If he had possessed absolute, uncompromising clarity from day one, he could have completely neutralized the massive financial machinery. Okay? Because what really happened, the reality is money only buys more confusion, right? The opposition put in $32 million against him. Now, the swarm deployed this $32 million in advertising into Massey's district, and it was fueled by a pro-Trump, pro-Israel interest groups. And many say it was the most expensive primary in the history. Now, because Massey subscribed to this illusion of playing the game, right, he tried to fight back by relying on establishment armor, Trump records and RFK Jr. praise. He said, oh, I'm with Trump. You see, the way he was trying to fight his opposition from MAGA was saying, oh, I vote with Trump 91%. You see the confusion? Oh, I support Kennedy. So this gave the swarm the perfect opening to expose his contradictions because his message became totally fucking diluted. He could not effectively rally a pure, you know, anti-establishment movement because he was simultaneously coddling the very figures who uphold those systems. So if he had been absolutely unyielding and totally clear, the swarm's money would have been useless because history shows, and this is what the swarm doesn't want people to do, that when you stand or leaders stand firmly on unbreakable scientific principles, there's no amount of corporate attack ads that can confuse the people. You see, it wasn't the money, it was his own fucking statements that ate himself up. He confused people. And truth operates on a very different frequency. You cannot buy truth, you see? You cannot negotiate truth. Truth exists on its own. And so when the reason I shared with you that image of the Ouroboros is that this is how the Ouroboros closes its jaws, because by trying to convince his base in Kentucky that the establishment, the swarm, had some good in them, because that's what he actually did. Oh, Trump is good. I vote with him 91% of the time. Kennedy's good, but I'm anti-Zionist. Meanwhile, Kennedy's saying he supports the invasion of Gaza. So Massey did not protect his own position, you see. What he did was he actually disarmed his own base. And when you teach your followers to look for the quote unquote good in establishment leaders, where you're training them to do is to accept compromise. Because I will have very inexperienced idiots who dabble around our movement. Oh, why is Dr. Shiva attacking blah, blah, blah? There's some good in Kennedy. You don't fucking get it. And those same people don't want to sit their ass down and study history. And this is why Massey's promoted, because they want to teach people to look for the good. Look for the good in people. If you've studied the devil from a spiritual perspective, in fact, 99% of the devil is actually pretty good. It's just one little fucking thing he says that's bad. He wants to overthrow God, but everything else, he sounds fucking good. So they're manipulating people to say, look for the good in people. It's very fucked up, okay? Because one times zero is zero, okay? So you're training people to accept compromise. You're telling them that the system is not entirely corrupt, but just misunderstood, right? So when the final stretch of the election arrived for Massey, the Ouroboros, the serpent, completed its loop. What the establishment did was they did the counterattack. Trump deployed his own administration down there. He sent Hegseth down there into Kentucky to campaign for Gallery and was crushing. Because Massey had spent months, remember, telling his own voters how aligned he was with Trump. I'm aligned with Trump 91% of the fucking time. So what did Trump do? He sends Hegseth. Well, if this guy's so aligned with us, we're here. So the voters, I mean, in some ways, Trump, you see, the swarm is very clear and cut and dry. And what's interesting about Trump, I don't want to say what's good about Trump, but what's valuable what Trump is doing, you see, he's doing exactly what all his predecessors did, Democrats, Republicans. But Trump's corruption is removed off all the bullshit veneer, right? He's doing it so blatantly. In some ways, it's quote unquote good because it's revealing the actual nature of the brutality of imperialism. And Trump is just following, being brutal. And his brutality, there's no confusion in that. The opportunists always confuse the fucking masses. So people rather choose clarity than fucking confusion. And this is why true revolutionaries are very clear. They don't want to confuse the fucking masses. This is why, in spite of all these medical freedom mothers, oh, you should work with Kennedy. There's a lot of good in Bobby. No, he's a fucking scumbag. He supported lockdowns. He flip-flops. And you keep going down the list, and you can go see my exposition of him. He supported Hillary Clinton. Not once, not twice, three times endorsed her. Pro-Monsanto. You can't go fucking around and playing the game. It's not about me, because it would have been very valuable for me. I could have gotten a great position in the Trump administration, right? Been even more popular, had more views. But you got to do what's right if you truly care about working people, which is even though they don't get it, you have to keep doing the right thing to lift people up and educate them. And that's what our movement does. Massey's not a fucking revolutionary. He's a fucking consummate, clever opportunist. Because he spent months telling his voters how aligned he was with Trump, how aligned he was with Kennedy. And those voters simply listened to the executive orders and voted Massey out. Because he's saying, I support 91% with Trump. Okay, those people said I'm going to support Trump. So the head of the snake bit its own tail. That's why, let me share my screen again. I did this drawing for you guys, okay? I hope you now get it. This is what Massey fucking did. He promotes all these people, and he ate himself. You can't go fighting the establishment, talking about how you're 91% aligned with the establishment. You can't go talking about fighting, saying you're anti-Zionist when you're fucking supporting and looking at the good in pro-Zionist Kennedy. Does this make any sense? But this is what these opportunists do. They're training the public, brainwashing them to think that you have to compromise. So here's the conclusion. Okay? True leaders are not using calculators for truth. I'm not calculating how many views and clicks I'm going to get. Okay, I'm about 80. I just need to tell 80% of the truth, the 20% I can compromise on. No, one times zero, zero. One times one is one. But you add a little bit of bullshit, zero, you get zero. So the swarm needs, requires, promotes characters like Massey. They will probably promote him to run for president. They need to keep the illusion. So the ruling class, the swarm, needs politicians who sound radical. Repeat that again. The ruling class needs politicians who sound radical because they act as a safety valve to capture genuine anger, genuine revolutionary energy, and as we say, redirect it safely back to a dead end. So you can't compromise your way to revolutionary change. You can't defeat a multi-trillion dollar lobbying blitz by being halfway against it. So if Massey had drawn a very hard, permanent line in the sand, like if he said, booby fucking Kennedy, he does some shit over here talking about health, but he's a fucking Zionist scumbag. I don't need his views and clicks. It would have been very clear to people. If he said, Trump is a fucking pedophile, I'm against, you know, the Epstein class, and to the extent I voted these ways, it wasn't for Trump, but he was trying to ally himself with Trump. So if he had done that, he would have given the people clarity, and he would have been unassailable, and he would have been a symbol of truth that no amount of fucking AIPAC money could buy or destroy. Instead, by trying to appease everyone, clever appeasement, he thinks he's very clever. He proved he was just another clever player, and the system swallowed him. So the takeaway is this, everyone. You can't be a real leader. You can't be a real agent of change and play both sides, right? You don't hedge your bets, and you don't modify the truth based on who's watching to get their views and clicks. You draw a very clear permanent line between the people and the swarm. And so you're basically saying never cross this line. And that's why if you watch step by step by step, everyday people are recognizing things are fucked up and they're looking for real leaders. And that's why our movement is important. That's why all of you should watch this video again and understand, you know, go through our course, we talked about in 1984, they had a guy called Jesse Jackson, then Bernie Sanders. Then, you know, you had the Tea Party. Then they created Donald Trump, Massey, or Tulsi Gabbard. And we called all these people out, right? All the MAGA people, Tulsi, she's anti-war. No, she isn't. She's as pro-war as you get. When you understand political theory, you get this. But these people like Massey are injected into the system to make sure another 10 years people are distracted. And another 10 years, another 10 years. So the masses are going like this instead of a very clear line. So if one person understands this concept, they're literally equal to an army of about 100, 200,000 or a million people versus people who are sort of unclear about what I just shared. So that's why the Ouroboros tail, that image that I just shared with you, and if you review this video again, and if you can really understand this, you'll have learned a lesson of 1,000 lifetimes of wasting your fucking lives in doing something that's never going to get people anywhere. And if we get enough people to understand this, and you don't need a lot, you can change the world. But they will keep creating Masseys. They'll keep creating AOCs and all these people as safety valves to manipulate people to thinking you have to play the game. That's what this is about. That's why I call this clever appeasement and why Massey's a misleader. Thank you. We'll take any questions.
Yeah, so we'll not be do not raise your hand. We'll only be taking questions in the chat. In order to do that and find the chat, if you're on a laptop, move your cursor around, a bar will appear, or if you're on a mobile device, tap your screen and then hit a chat icon. And once you do that, you hit the new chat option, and then that will come up all the co-hosts. You message any of the co-hosts and we'll answer your questions. Please be on topic with your question and really think clearly and be succinct with your questions, please, so we can move forward with this open house. Thank you.
We have about 41 people here and then, you know, thousands listening on social media. Again, everyone here, I'm running for United States Senate. The movement is running for U.S. Senate. Massachusetts is the center of a global system of exploitation. Any election for U.S. Congress, House of Representatives, U.S. Senate, is no longer just a local referendum. It's a global referenda for working people all over the world. We have created an infrastructure for everyone. Go to volunteer, go to shiva4senate.com. And we're going to teach people today, those people want to join. Those of you who are on social media, you can still RSVP to vashiva.com/orientation and come join this. Because if you come here, we have a breakout room and we'll onboard you tonight to help us make phone calls. We need everyone here who really gets this and doesn't just want to mentally sort of, you know, talk all day or watch videos all day. If you actually want to do change, we have an exact path to our victory for U.S. Senate. Is that we need each one of you to get on the phone, at least contribute 1 hour between now and end of October and make phone calls. And we've made it very easy. You don't even have to dial the phone. You just click a button and it'll connect you to a citizen in Massachusetts. We have a script. You get them to pledge to vote for Shiva for Senate. It's really easy. Whether you have an accent, it doesn't matter. Whether wherever you are, you can participate. Because the run for U.S. Senate is not a run for a U.S. Senate seat in Massachusetts. It's about global exploitation and the fact Massachusetts is the center of that. And we've created a way that you guys can, you know, with your phones, be part of that. So we're not here begging. For anyone's money. We're here asking you, do you want change? And we're giving you an opportunity to participate. It's up to you. Take questions. Go ahead, Nick. Okay, I see some here. Nicholas put up a thing, pledge now, right? Okay, YouTube. Are they propping up Massey for 2028 like they did Trump? Someone, JCH. Yeah, so the person at YouTube, if you watch this video, please understand the fundamentals here are to always create these characters to act like they're rebels. But what they're doing is they're telling people that you don't really have to build a movement. They'll use the word quote unquote movement, but you don't really have to build one. And that it's about compromising. And compromising and compromising, playing the game. Yeah. So Trump was the quote unquote rebel in 2016. And every election cycle for president, they always create the next quote unquote fake rebel. That's what Massey is, right on target. Have you seen the lawsuit King versus Monsanto? I haven't seen that one, but I'll tell you this. Since 2010, we have done fundamental research on genetically engineered foods, soy and Monsanto, published them, exposed them. And one of the things is there are people who file these lawsuits. It's like some of the tobacco lawsuits. And some of them are opportunist lawsuits. They don't really move the needle. I mean, I should do a whole video on the tobacco lawsuit and the scams that took place there. But I haven't seen that lawsuit. But what I can tell you is that many of these people filing some of these lawsuits, Kennedy being one of them, actually don't hit at the fundamental issue. They always hit at a side issue. But I'll go read that lawsuit if you want. Next one is, how do we use, by the way, Teresa and the person before, go to Schieffer for Senate and become a volunteer. I appreciate your question, but participate. And it's really easy. We make it very easy for people to make these phone calls. Someone says, how do we unite people who want out of a corrupted system without them attacking us? Great question. That is Wing Definity 7709. Again, history shows if you really want to shatter the swarm, there are three things you need. And you can't just have a scientific understanding of history. That's one piece. That's what I call theory. You can't just have a bunch of people want to do it, you know, our friends and chums and et cetera. That's community. You can't just have, going out and doing action, right? So I'll give you an example. If you go to MIT, you can learn system science. That's theory. But they don't teach you about actions you can take or how to use that to build community. You can go join the Rotary Club. They give you a lot of community, right? Actually, to go vaccinate people, okay? You can do action like Black Lives Matter, go march around. They're all isolated pieces. You need the right theory, a global community, and you need the right action. Theory, community, action, if you want to win truth, freedom, health. And that's how you win. And that's how you unite people. To unite people, you have to unite. Unity, you know, is not the most important thing, by the way. The issues are you uniting people around the right core principles. So what are the fundamental principles? What's the community? And what are the actions that you're taking? So I recommend, again, get involved in this. Sometimes you act and then you learn the theory and you join the community. So Wing Definity, go to Schieffer for Senate, volunteer, and you'll learn a lot by doing that. You'll meet some amazing people. Get involved. And it doesn't matter where you are in the world. Someone asked me, what do I think of Spencer Pratt in CA? I don't have any opinion. I don't really know the person. Let's go to the next one. Any other questions?
I have none on my end.
Okay. So, Nick, maybe what you can do is you can either introduce people or play Shatter the Swarm. It's up to you. But again, to the people listening, Nick, I don't know how you want to run this. I know I'm changing it a little bit, but I would say use this opportunity, if you can, to get people onboarded. Marianne, you guys may want to do that, you know? But
yeah, we can go around the,
yeah,
put everyone on the spot, really.
Time is ticking. Yeah. We've created infrastructure, a global infrastructure. Within minutes, you can get onboarded and you can start making calls. Notice I haven't said, give me money, give me money. That's what Massey was doing. He was doing money bombs all day, okay? We don't need money. We need people working. Working people, working for yourselves. So we can deliver a defeat to the swarm, showing what a bottoms-up movement looks like. That's the infrastructure we've created. Anything else?
No, I think we're all set. I think we'll introduce some new people, and then we'll just go around and make sure everyone's on board before the night's over.
Yeah. 1 hour a day, we'll win this election. We've made it that easy for people. So it's really up to you. Thank you.
Thank you, Dr. Shiva.
Yep.
All right.
We have allowed our country to be taken over from within. And the end goal is you will have a homogenized world where we will become slaves, because there is a condition among the elites that really thinks they're better than you, deep down inside them, that you don't deserve the freedoms you have. They don't. This reality is what people need to wake up to. And we need to all unite working people. There's only one movement that can do that. And that is the movement that we started creating here in Massachusetts, the Movement for Truth, Freedom, and Health. Look, I've been a student of politics since I was a four-year-old kid, studying revolutionary movements, left wing, right wing. There's a physics, there's a nuclear science to destroying the establishment. To build a bridge, you need to understand Newton's equation. You need to understand the laws of gravity. You need to understand Poisson's ratio. There is a way to build a revolution. And that's why I put this together. My goal is to train a army of truth, freedom, and health leaders. We don't need followers like social media. We need leaders, but they need training because the educational system does not teach them history, nothing. So in 3 hours, that's what I've started doing. That's the solution. Wow. We got to train people first with understanding what a system is, the dynamics of all systems that affect nature. The second is understanding the interconnection between truth, freedom, and health. Freedom is the ability to move freely, communicate freely, talk freely. Without freedom, you cannot convert ideas, hypothesis into truth, which is science. And without freedom, you can't really get to truth. And without truth, you make up fake problems and fake solutions, which means you destroy our health. And without health, which is the infrastructure of us and our body, you can't fight for freedom. Truth, freedom, health. Third concept is it has to be bottoms up, working people, people who work uniting. And what the right wing has done is whenever you say working people unite, that must be communist. Meanwhile, they've let the Democrats run unions, which suppress workers, completely corrupt. But when you look at the arc of American history, it's been when working people came up. We need to go local. Every solution I'm coming up with is a part of this movement. We're giving the science, which is the truth, and then we tell people what they can do on the ground. Like with election fraud, you don't need to wait for some lawyer. Our goal is to train people to go local, to go local, to go local, fight locally. Forget lawyers, forget politicians, forget celebrities. You've got to learn politics, and there is a science to it. They lock us down, we should be ready to shut them down. And the fourth part of this principle is the not so obvious establishment. So when you look at a system, there's always something that disturbs you from getting to your goal. Well, the biggest disturbance is the not so obvious establishment, which are those people who claim they're for you on the left and the right. The Al Sharptons who tell black people I'm for you. The Tucker Carlsons. Do you think any true anti-establishment person will ever be on Fox or CNN? I don't think so. They both mislead working people back into the establishment. Without this solid understanding of political physics and theory, you're screwed. You're going to follow on the left wing Bernie Sanders. Oh, he said something. Or Robert Kennedy. Scumbags. Or you're going to follow some right-wing talk show host. They're not going to lead us to liberation. It's us. We're building a bottoms-up movement. And that political physics, it's a nuclear science of change. Bottoms up. We have to organize to understand that there is people who talk a good game and then look at what they actually do, left and right. I'm sorry, Sean Hannity may say some good things, but I don't see the urgency in his voice to get something done. And it can only come when you weaponize yourself with the right knowledge. You need to be able to identify a rat. You know, Christ didn't go after the Romans, right? It was the Pharisees and the Sadducees who screwed him up. His own quote-unquote people. And that's where we're at. So these four concepts I've built into a curriculum where people can go to truthfreedomhealth.com, and it's an educational program. We need to train people in political theory. You need to have physics. And I've created that curriculum. People need to get educated. We need to get educated fast. And within a half an hour, I can teach people 2 years of MIT control systems. I teach people those concepts. Then I apply it. Anyone can understand it. And then you say, oh, I got to build a bottoms-up movement. They have to get politically astute, and then they have to go locally and act, not sit there on social media. They have to act locally, defy locally, do civil obedience locally, but with knowledge on how to build a movement. And the Senate campaign's expanded to the Movement for Truth, Freedom, and Health, and they can find it on truthfreedomhealth.com. So people can sign in, they can get access to a bunch of videos. If they want to take a course and become a Truth, Freedom, Health leader, I offer a full scholarship there. But we want people to make a commitment that they'll study, that they'll get certified, that they'll go do activities on the ground. So go to truthfreedomhealth.com.
Welcome to VA Shiva. VA Shiva is a product of my journey across East and West, science and tradition, ancient and modern, that brings you the science of systems so you can become a force for truth, freedom, health. VA Shiva is a platform of revolutionary education, community building, and weaponry for unleashing local activism. My journey to VA Shiva begins in the chaos of Bombay, where I experienced diverse religions, languages, castes, and in a small village that had no running water, no electricity, where my grandmother, a poor village farmer, practiced Siddha, an ancient system of Indian medicine over 10,000 years old. She observed one's face, the art of Samudrika Lakshanam, to understand a body's unique constitution, allowing her to deliver the right medicine for the right person at the right time. Watching my grandmother heal others, I was inspired to study medicine, but I was also aware of the corrupt caste system of India, which denigrated a human being, where my family were considered low caste untouchables, where one's birth determined one's destiny. The grit and determination of my mother and father led them to get educated and to come to America, a one in a trillion event. Their actions inspired me to work hard and excel. While in ninth grade, I attended New York University in a computer science program, and subsequently, at the age of 14, was given a full-time job as a research fellow at what is now known as Rutgers Medical School in the heart of Newark, New Jersey. There, I investigated the system of sleep using mathematics, computer science, and biology for sudden infant death syndrome. It was there in Newark where I invented email when I was the first to convert every feature of the physical, paper-based inner office mail system, including inbox, outbox, memo, carbon copy, blind carbon copy, attachments, into its electronic equivalent, a system which I named email, a term that I was the first to coin. On August 30th, 1982, I was awarded the first U.S. copyright for the invention of this system, recognizing me as the inventor of email. At that time, copyright was the only way to protect software inventions. I went on to MIT, where I earned 4 degrees across multiple systems of engineering, electrical, mechanical, design, biological. That training led me to invent many other systems for advancing humankind. Echomail, the world's first intelligent email management system. Cytosolve, a computational biology system for eliminating animal testing to discover new medicines faster, cheaper, and safer. And to the creation of a whole systems methodology for certifying clean food. These innovations led me back on a Fulbright to India, where I discovered the missing link between Eastern medicine and Western systems theory, honoring my grandmother, to develop Your Body, Your System, a powerful tool that will help you understand how your body is a system and how the inputs of food, supplements, and exercise bring your body back to its natural system state. And Systems Health, an integrative educational discipline that is now integrated into the VA Shiva platform that will enable you to learn the science of systems, the science of everything, be it your body as a system or our society and politics as a system, to reveal the foundational interrelationships between truth, freedom, health. Now is the time for you to be the light, learn the science of systems, build community, and weaponize yourself to unleash the activism necessary to deliver truth, freedom, health in your local community. Welcome to VA Shiva.